It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 76 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Carson, just a few weeks ago, we had the largest store championship tournament in Minnesota, the Fantasy Flight Game Center store championship.
Yeah, we had 50 players in attendance, and today we got a special guest. Tim Sturm, the winner of the event, is here joining us to talk about his list and how the tournament went.
Tim was flying a list that's gained a lot of notoriety since the release of Wave 11, so it was really cool to get some insight from Tim and learn kind of the ins and outs of that list and maybe how to beat it. So, here's our interview with Tim Sturm. All right, so we've got Tim Sturm on the line. Tim, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and before we get too far into this conversation, I think we need to address probably the worst thing that's happened to this podcast is having two Tims on the air, and I really am not sure how we're going to handle this.
I think the obvious solution is, since people are already used to you calling me Tim, right, Carson? Sturm, would you be okay if we called you Sturm for the remainder of the show?
I'm fine with Sturm.
All right, so Sturm, let's let the audience get to know you a little bit. How long have you been playing X-Wing?
I've been playing since the Assault on Imdar Alpha weekend.
For people who don't know, Assault on Imdar Alpha was a pre-release event for Wave 4, where they did a really unique thing where you could actually win the ships from Wave 4 early if you won the event.
The first weekend out in competitive play, it was all the tryhards at that time trying to win free ships, and it was just like 3 days in a row of losing, but it was very fun.
Yeah, that was right before when I started playing. But as I recall, a lot of the local stores spaced their events out, so you could play like 6 events in that one weekend or something crazy.
Right.
You didn't win any of the new ships?
No. I don't think I won any games that weekend.
Well, you were still pretty new to the game, so right. You know, that's understandable.
Right. And that's how you learn in this game anyway, is the getting trounced on the first week you go.
Yeah, and then hopefully it gets better at least at some point.
So that would be about 3 years ago, I guess.
All right, so we got a lot of sweet ships in the Star Wars universe. Which one is your favorite? Not necessarily in the game of X-Wing, but just in the Star Wars universe.
I wasn't expecting that one. So I like the X-Wing. Always had those toys as a kid and growing up. Got the Star Wars X-Wing Legos and everything. So we'll go with the iconic ship, even though it doesn't get a lot of play in the game.
Tragically, of course.
Correct.
And then in the game, mechanically, which is your favorite ship to fly?
It's a toss-up between... Well, no, we'll go with the Hawk. Because it's such a weak little ship and just a junky dial, but you can make it do almost anything for a little bit. It's a challenge, so if you can master that ship, you should be all right with the other ships.
All right, a man after my own heart there.
So, Tim, we always ask this question to everyone their first time on the podcast. If you could describe your X-Wing playstyle in terms of an elite pilot talent upgrade card, what upgrade card would you choose and why?
So I would go with the Veteran Instincts card just because I'm old. Let's get that out of the way. And then because I have been around a while now, the guys that were around when I started playing, not many of them are around, but now I'm around. And if you play enough, you know what you're doing. And then also in our meta, if you play with the guys enough, you know what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. We can all actually start calling each other out pretty quickly in the middle of a game, which is fun.
Yeah, that's a funny thing about when you get kind of used to a local play group. Suddenly, there's a weird barrier when you're playing at like a premier event against people you've never played before versus when you're playing locally, you start to recognize people's play styles, which influences like, oh, I think they're going to make this decision, so I'm going to make this decision instead of what I would have done against an opponent I didn't know.
Right. And we can get to it later, but that's one of the decisions I made in the final round at the store championship was because I played Cody so many times.
Well, of course, that's going to be our focus today is you won the largest store championship in Minnesota thus far. I think it's going to be the largest one, though, for this season with a new list that's becoming pretty popular since Wave 11 came out.
Yeah, not my list. Didn't make it. Stole it from the internet the night before and gave it a go.
This list is, of course, the Biggs Lowrick Captain Rex Jess Pava list, which is Biggs Darklighter, an X-Wing with R4, D6, and integrated astromech. The new Lowrick pilot card with the new Selflessness elite pilot talent, as well as the Tactician crew and the Ray crew. the Captain Rex Rebel TIE Fighter, just as is, no upgrades, and then the Jess Pava T-70 X-Wing with R2-D6, giving you that elite pilot talent slot, as well as integrated astromech and the Draw Their Fire upgrade card, which has been around for a long time but hasn't seen a lot of play until recently.
Yeah, so this was one of the breakout lists from Wave 11. I call it the Selfless Rebels after the new Rebel-only elite pilot talent, Selflessness, that Lowrick uses to great success here.
Yeah, and I think that that name pretty well describes what the list is doing, where you're spreading damage out across your ships so that it takes a really long time to destroy any single one of these ships. That's an accurate name. I still like the Biggs Lobowski, so I think in my mind I'm going to stick to that one.
Yeah, I'm on Tim's side here, and Josh came up with that, and it's funny, so there you go.
That's fine. It's Tim's against me, but I like the practical names that describe what the lists do, not just the funny name wombos.
That might be better for our listeners, too. Anyway, so let's look at some of the synergies here, though, why this is such a breakout list.
Right. So the new Rebel-only elite pilot talent, Selflessness, which is small ship only, and 1 point reads, when a friendly ship at range one is hit by an attack, you may discard this card to suffer all uncanceled hit results instead of the target ship. Now, in a vacuum, this is okay. I mean, you're spreading damage out, but your other ship is taking the brunt of perhaps a very large attack. But if you're triggering Selflessness on a ship that's Biggs with R4-D6, that astromech gets to trigger, canceling down the number of hits on an attack to just two hits, and then you can use Selflessness to pull those two hits that weren't canceled from R4-D6 onto the other ship with Selflessness, which is pretty powerful.
And I think the effectiveness of this card is attributed mostly to Biggs here. I don't think it's terribly unfair on any other platform because you're not actually canceling any damage when you use Selflessness. You're just redirecting it, which is pretty good if it's going to stop one of your ships from being taken off the board, but you're still going to take the damage. But when it's in combination with Biggs, it's this crazy synergy. Biggs has been a persistent force in the game since pretty much when it released and he was in the original core set. But him in combination with Selflessness on the new Lowrick pilot card is a pretty difficult mechanic to work around.
Right, so the mechanic of Biggs where he has to be the first target means your opponent needs to focus him down as quick as possible. And Selflessness pulling damage away from Biggs means that Biggs is going to be able to live just that much longer.
Well, and Lowrick does a lot to help that out. Lowrick is the new pilot skill 5 Azatuk gunship pilot with the pilot ability. When another friendly ship at range 1 is defending, you may spend 1 reinforce token. If you do, the defender adds 1 evade result. Which, I think is an ability that's like not particularly unfair or difficult to work around. If you want to ignore that ability, you just shoot at Lowrick. The problem is that Biggs, if he's within range 1 of Lowrick, forces you to shoot at Biggs if you can shoot at Biggs.
On that ability, a local guy, Dave Bauer, I think, brought it to the cut, and he didn't have it with Biggs. He had it with a Ghost with 0 dice, and that ability helped him out all day.
Right. Well, and there, your choice between firing at a Ghost with no agility, but it's going to get an extra evade from Lowrick, or attacking a Azatuk that has the reinforced token means he's getting that evade either way. And so in this squad, even if Biggs does eventually get finished, Lowrick then acts as like a second Biggs where you either need to target Lowrick, who has the reinforced token, or choose to fire at Jess or Captain Rex, and they'll be getting a free evade from Lowrick.
Well, there's other synergies in this list, too. We haven't even touched on Captain Rex or Jess Pava yet. So Captain Rex does a lot in helping mitigate the damage that Biggs is going to take when your opponent's forced to shoot at Biggs. Captain Rex deals out the condition when he fires, which means if a ship that has this condition targets anyone other than Captain Rex, they have to roll 1 fewer attack die, which again, outside of a Biggs list, is an ability you can work around. You can just choose to target Captain Rex and ignore that condition. But in a Biggs list, of course, you have to target Biggs, which means that Captain Rex's ability is going to be effective most of the time.
Well, and did you get into situations where you didn't even need the R4-D6 trigger because you had Captain Rex lowering their damage output and then Lowrick adding evades?
Right. It gets to a point where it fights against itself a little bit.
You got too many defensive mods, you don't get to use them all?
Right.
A terrible problem to have.
The last defensive mod you get to is draw their fire on Jespava, which comes at kind of a steep cost for that card because you have to take the R2-D6 crew card in order to get the elite pilot talent slot on Jess. But draw their fire allows you to receive an uncanceled crit when a friendly ship gets hit, which means you can split that damage up even further, allowing for some pretty crazy synergy.
Right, and this is another insurance policy on R4-D6 for Biggs where the main workaround is to deal critical damage because that can't be canceled. But now that first critical result being dealt to Biggs, Jespava has the option to pull that onto her shields.
Well, and just to put it in perspective, let's just do a quick example here of how this synergy is really crazy. So let's look at an example here with the new cruise missile card, where let's say optimistically the ship shooting the cruise missile at Biggs has gone 4 forward, so it's going to get the 1 dice plus the 4 extra dice for the speed of the maneuver. So you've got a 5 dice attack coming. Now, optimistically, let's say this attack generates 5 hit results against Biggs, and Biggs rolls defense dice, gets no evade results. All blanks, no focuses with focus tokens, nothing being prevented by raw defense dice. So first off, we're going to have Lorik spend the reinforced token he has to add an evade result to this defense. All right, so you've got 4 uncancelled hits now, down from 5. Next up, Biggs is going to trigger R4-D6 to receive 2 stress tokens to cancel the number of hits down to just 2. After that, you can have Lorik spend the Selflessness Elite Pilot Talent card to receive those 2 damage instead of Biggs. This is an example where Biggs was going to take 5 hits, and it turned into just 2 damage, not even on Biggs, over on Lorik.
Sounds about right.
Well, and if your alpha attack doesn't work, then you have to start dealing with Captain Rex's ability, where that's going to start lowering the attack dice you get to throw at these rebels, which means it's going to be pretty difficult for you to even get R4-D6 to trigger because you're not going to be pushing enough red dice through Biggs's defense. And that the off chance you get any critical results, then Jespava swoops in to draw that fire away onto her.
Overall, this adds up to keeping Biggs alive as long as possible, which means that you're not going to lose any of your ships, you're not going to lose any of your attacks, and then you can just try and play the long game there and push damage out on your opponent over time. Hey guys, just got to take a quick break here from the show for a Patreon update. We're not quite ready to announce our August raffle winners. We've still got some payments processing on Patreon, but we will be announcing our raffle winners in next week's episode.
Once again, thank you for everyone who has supported us on patreon.com/radiotcx. And now, let's get back to the cast. And so to win the FFG store champ, you had to play 9 whole rounds. How many games did you have all of your ships still standing, Sturm?
A couple, not a lot. I mean, I would lose the TIE fighter because that can get out of position easy if you're not used to flying that with rebels. Pava would go down because you'd be down shields and you would just have to go away with that for a while because the smart people would make me go through the rocks.
So, Tim, I haven't actually flown this Selfless Rebels list yet. I don't think Carson has flown it yet, but you took this all the way to winning a store championship. So let's start out by looking at what is kind of the overall strategy and setup that you're going to bring when you are using this list.
You mean like how I specifically set up my ships or what I'm watching for? Or
so let's talk about facing off against big base turret ships like Dash Rendar or the Decimator, stuff like that.
Right, so I knew of one weakness of this list going into the day. I found a couple more throughout it, but we'll just talk about this one for now. It's 4 ships that shoot straight, and you're not going to have a lot of tricks if you do K-turns and stuff like that. So I was worried about arc dodging big bases. So when you set up, and you had mentioned this on one of your shows, one of your early programs, is you don't just set up pointing straight at the other side of the table. I set up in such a way that I could come out at an angle first, see where they're going, and then I can hard turn in or just keep going down the side of the board depending on which way they broke so that I could mitigate that weakness and keep them in my arcs.
So if you were to do something like a standard setup in the corner facing to the opposite side of the board, that makes you very predictable, which means ships like Dash Rendar can prey on you by controlling distance, especially since he's moving at a higher pilot skill.
Yep.
And do you have any tricks for after that first engagement when your opponent starts trying to get their ships behind you? How do you keep your ships turning while still keeping them all tightly in formation, because that is kind of the key of the list, is trying to keep all your ships together.
So there's two things that the list does better than other lists, or that doesn't worry about things like, usually in this game, splitting fire or changing targets is a terrible idea. But this one, it's four ships that can still shoot. So let's say you're in a spot where you're not able to keep guns on the Arc Dodger. It's tough enough that you can switch to the other target and try to take that out, and you can still take a shot or two from that arc dodging ship with all of the damage mitigation.
Yeah, so normally, like, let's say you had to target the arc dodging ship first. It was the first one you had a couple shots on. You plinked a couple damage there, but then it gets way out of your way. Since your list is so durable and you're playing the long game, you're actually not really that penalized if you have to switch to a different target, because you're probably not going to have taken that much damage at that point.
Correct.
So the original thought process on not splitting your fire is your opponent is going to be focus firing on you, and if they're able to start taking your ships off the board, then you won't have as many guns to finish off their ships. But if your list has some pretty extreme defensive capabilities, like the Selfless Rebels, then you're not necessarily bound by that limitation.
Also, I think I got lucky in that week the meta changed to two or three ship lists, and if they're only shooting at you twice a turn anyway, that's not as much damage to mitigate. And I'm outnumbering them 2-1, and something's going to melt pretty quick if you catch it.
Well, and Captain Rex is really good against just two ship lists, where you're going to turn off basically one of their ship's damage output.
Well, and the value of Lorik goes up too, because spending that reinforced token to add evade result means a lot more if you're only taking two shots as opposed to taking five shots. So, Tim, what were the matchups you were most afraid of going into the tournament before you really got to experience this list a lot?
So I was worried about Dengar and Fenn, but none of them showed up that day, so I still don't know what that's going to look like. And the Arc Dodgers we talked about, and then TLTs don't turn on any of Biggs's friends' abilities, so I was a little worried about those. Also, they are usually Arc Dodgers and TLTs.
The funny thing about Twin Laser Turret is that technically you could spend Lorik's reinforced token to add an evade result or use a lot of these other abilities. But the whole point of a twin laser turret is if just one damage gets through, it goes through. So there's not a lot of point in canceling the damage unless you're going to cancel the whole attack.
Right.
And you did end up playing a twin laser turret list, didn't you?
I ended up losing to a twin laser turret list. A couple things there. He kept him out of arc, and then he had the other big base arc dodging Oikun, but his is the damage dealing one. And, things were going great until I put a crit through. The first damage on his ship was the PS0 crit, which now meant he just couldn't land on any of my guys that he wanted. So it was very unfortunate for me and a lucky break for him there. So the Oikun did it like 7 or 8 damage, and then the TLTs just plinked everybody off while I was locked in front of this big base ship.
Well, and I think the key to those abilities being so effective is that they get around all of these damage deterrent abilities. Obviously, Oikun, when he bumps into a ship, just deals a damage. You can't do anything about that with your Lorik synergies or your Jess Pava synergy. And being able to do the TLTs, like we said, ignores a lot of those damage mitigating effects so that you're able to force the damage through and hopefully start getting ships to come off the board.
Right, so when you're spreading damage out and lowering the hit points of your whole list, direct damage like Oikun's ability, or getting some bombs off, or things like feedback array where they're not really attacks, so they're not subject to the Biggs rule, can really be a nice way to get around all of the damage dispersal of the Selfless Rebels.
And then the most damage I received during the day was from guys like Jimmy and Kyle who had bombs, but they were just 2 or 3 slips of bombs, so they couldn't do the damage fast enough.
Did you have a lot of trouble with ordnance lists, things like Plasma Torpedo or the new cruise missiles?
No, but again, I think I got lucky there with the meta call because cruise missiles were brand new and everybody knows they're coming and what they're trying to do, because you can't pause too much with those. Otherwise, you get into range 1 and they don't work. So you know the turn they're going to go 3, 4, or 5. So they're easier to deal with that way.
And that's the turn you go 3, 4, or 5, right?
Right, right.
But don't you think that actually is kind of an advantage that those ordnance lists have against your list, since you're such low pilot skill and you have to fly them in a pretty tight cluster? You're not getting any real repositioning there because you kind of have to ignore the barrel roll on your TIE fighter and the boost on your Jess Pava.
Yeah, I mean, all you're hoping for is getting in their range so they can't shoot it off. And then if they do, you'll survive a couple.
So as a tip to our listeners to take on this list, if we do come in with a cruise missile and we're deciding who to target lock to do that five dice attack, who do you think is the wise decision to target first?
I think I would say Lorik, because he's got, well, in this list, he's also the most expensive, so that's always a good deal. Plus, you'll get rid of his selflessness maybe because he doesn't want to do it because he'll die, or if you splash one to Pava, that's fine. And it's a one die ship. You got that forever evade, but it's the most points. It does the most tricks. I think that's the one you should go for.
Right. I've heard a lot of arguments about going for Rex because he's, in theory, the easiest to kill, but he is just 14 points. So even if you do destroy him, I'm not sure that accomplished enough with your munition strike.
Well, and I think the Rex targeting might be a little more important if you are flying just a two-ship list. If you've got 3 to 4 ships, you'll probably be okay because Rex won't be as effective. But if you've just got the two ships, Rex's ability can be incredibly detrimental to your ability to win the game. So one of the downsides of this list is it doesn't have a very consistent damage output. You're looking at several ships with 3 attack dice, but for the most part, they're not going to be heavily modified, with the exception, I guess, of just Pava, right?
Right. Yeah, so the gunship hurts because it doesn't have a target lock, so all you're dependent on is focuses. But Pava, her ability fits in so well here. You just do the maneuver and you take a focus, and you're pretty much rerolling all her dice all day long.
Right, because Jess Pava has the ability where she can reroll a number of die, either on offense or defense, equal to the number of friendly ships she has at range 1. Which, since you're flying this list in a cluster, you usually have at least 2, probably all 3 ships at range 1.
And I will never forget her ability again after watching my final round match where I forgot it twice in a row.
But it didn't cost you the game, so there's that.
Right. It's just embarrassing for all the eyeballs, the 106 people out there.
And if you listeners want to check out our live stream from the event, it should still be archived on Twitch for a couple more days, and I'm going to try and have all the videos uploaded onto YouTube by this weekend. We'll post a link in our social media accounts when those go up. So, Tim, the tournament was pretty exhausting. You ended up playing 9 games over the whole event, the 6 rounds of Swiss plus the 3 cut rounds. Could you tell us anything about what were your most enjoyable games? What were your most interesting games?
So, yeah, my most enjoyable game was the one where I lost. The guy was super fun to play against. We had a good time the whole time, Brendan. And then the other fun part of the day was playing a guy that I've been friends with for a little bit here through the community. Jake Tessum with his Dash and Nora list. I think he's one of the guys that will not give up Nora, and he knows how to fly her. I think he flies her better than other people. I think they kind of gave up on Nora. But I had to play him twice, and he had the counter with the arc dodging, and I was able to get him the first time and then just barely eked it out the second time because his green dice blanked out at the end for him.
Those were some pretty tough matches. I know what we had on stream of that was pretty tense.
Watching it back the next day, it did look like he had a focus on that last roll, but it was just a blank.
Oh, yeah, that was a point of confusion there, too, because it looked like he was going to live by 1 hit point, but I guess it was just the glare from the lights on the camera.
Right, right.
Well, those clear dice are terrible on the camera. You really can't read those at all.
I don't have any fancy dice, so I don't have any of these dice problems.
You don't have any fancy dice yet. So, Tim, can you talk about your final match where you played against Cody Frechette?
Sure. So Cody and I go way back, too. We've been playing each other a long time. We usually alternate wins depending on where we're at. And the reason I like playing him is because he comes up with different lists than the meta list. I mean, he's still got pieces of them in there, but he changes them up a little bit. He's running his Palpatine budget aces list, which no one else is playing. So that's fun to see. But I think technically it was his turn to win this time because I beat him round 1 of Worlds and then didn't make second day, but he did. So that tournament day, I think he was supposed to win. But I think on the setup, I was able to get an advantage that propelled me through the rest of the game. He set up his palp shuttle in the one corner where I had a clear lane from the rocks, and then he spread out his other ships a little bit too far, I think, because those the TIE Strikers, he played one as a flanker, but with a boost and the 3 straight, I just don't think it was able to go fast enough to catch up. So by the time it got into the fight, I was already halfway through his palp shuttle. So since I played him so much, I knew he wasn't going to stop with his shuttle one turn. I knew he was going to go 3 straight to bring it in to fire at me. And so I just rebel creeped, and we were set up for a whole bunch of range 1 shots on his shuttle.
Did he end up taking any of your ships?
At the end, I think he got rid of Pava.
Okay, yeah.
I messed up her rerolls at the beginning, so she was shieldless, and I had to make her run away, and then he picked her off.
Yeah, those TIE Strikers are pretty good at chasing. And that list had a decent advantage against you. You had the Palp Shuttle, you had Omega Leader, the TIE FO with Juke and Comm Relay, and then you had a couple TIE Strikers, Pure Sabak, as well as Countdown, which means you've got four guns on the table, which the more guns you have against the Selfless Rebels list, the better. And they had mostly pilot skill advantages on you, so they could adapt to whatever you were doing.
Right, and he flew those Strikers. Like, I had no idea where they were going to end up. Where I thought he was going to be on the second turn was not where he was at all. It was fun to watch.
I really do like the TIE Striker, so anytime they show up in competitive games, I get excited because they're really fun and interesting to fly.
Yeah, no offense, but I was rooting against you there.
Well, he did just beat Josh's list that's the same as mine, so he knew what to do.
But unfortunately, who I want to win doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, in spite of Cody's best efforts, you did end up taking that match and taking the whole tournament, so big congratulations to you.
Thank you. It was a good long day. It was a long day, but it was a lot of fun, and it, as far as all the players knew, it went off without a hitch. We had Matt Baxter and Big Vic and Wade running the show, and the projector worked, and there was no repairings, and none of the calls were controversial. Everybody went with what the judge said. It was a good day all around.
Well, thank you for joining us, Tim, and sharing the insights into your Selfless Rebel squad.
Thank you for having me and for the chance. It was a good time. I enjoy listening to you guys every week.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, our interview with Tim Sturm. That was actually a really good interview. I was really, really excited to see kind of the ins and outs of that list, especially since I have yet to fly it myself.
Yeah, the list is very powerful, and in the hands of a great pilot like Tim Sturm, can take you all the way to the win at a big event.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to PodRacer2006, who said the show was well put together and had a great pace.
Thanks, PodRacer, and to everyone else who's left us a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
And if you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.